Hello, everyone. Welcome to your weekly tech update, the show that explores the newest, coolest, and craziest side of tech available on the interwebs. I am your technology concierge, Ray McNeil. Coming up on the program today, this 60s Ford Mustang EV has Tesla-like specs and a Rolls-Royce-like price. Drone 40 is a drone whose niche involves a 40-millimeter grenade. And happening in this week's What The, a video of a man bathing in a Wendy's sink goes viral. And it's from where else but the lovely state of Florida. That and a whole lot more coming up on today's edition of your weekly tech update. Next. Hi everyone. Today in tech history, few companies have done more to shape the modern internet, and some might argue modern capitalism, than Amazon. CEO Jeff Bezos incorporated the company 25 years ago, and it was another year before Amazon launched as an online bookstore. It was still longer before it became the internet Goliath that it is today. But the list of things that Amazon has significantly changed 25 years in is simply dizzying. The company made it simple to order just about anything online and get it shipped very quickly. Its ability to promise delivery in 2 days for so many items upended the way most internet retailers operated and had a significant impact on brick and mortar retail as well. Amazon Prime took this further. If you're paying an annual subscription fee for fast shipping, well, you might as well buy everything you can from Amazon. The Kindle, Amazon's first piece of hardware, took e-readers to the masses and shook up the physical book business that the company capitalized on when it launched. By 2010, in fact, more Kindle books were sold on Amazon than physical hardcover ones. After the Kindle, Amazon got more broadly into entertainment hardware with the Fire TV streaming box and Fire tablets. They didn't exactly disrupt those product categories, but they can do a lot for not much cash, and they made it easy to buy and watch video from Amazon. Alexa, meanwhile, was a big deal in multiple ways. It introduced to the mainstream home speakers powered by a digital assistant, and by making it work with thousands of other smart home products, well, it pushed that entire category forward. These are just a few of the most significant customer-focused moves Amazon has made over the past 25 years. But Amazon Web Services made the company ubiquitous across the internet. AWS was officially conceived in 2002 and was relaunched in 2006 after a few years of experimentation. The company's simple storage service effectively made cloud-based infrastructure more cost-effective. Oh, and let's not forget the acquisitions. Over the years, Amazon has taken over audiobook provider Audible, digital comics marketplace Comixology, home security company Ring, fellow online retailers Zappos and Woot, live streaming platform Twitch, and perhaps the most significant, Whole Foods. That last acquisition, which happened in June of 2017, immediately gave Amazon a massive brick-and-mortar footprint, something the company had experimented with but never really committed to in a significant way. And while Amazon and Whole Foods originally said the stores would be operated independently, well, it didn't take long before Kindles and Fire tablets were on sale alongside organic vegetables. And as anyone could have guessed too, well, Amazon Prime members have access to deals that others don't. As Amazon has entered more industries, its size, scale, and influence has exploded. From 2014 to 2018, revenue nearly tripled from an already staggering $89 billion to $233 billion. And its profits have surged even more. Beyond its environmental impact, Amazon has been under fire for a variety of issues, including poor worker conditions, low pay, opposing unions, working with law enforcement on a controversial facial recognition program, and contributing to the general downfall of independent retailers. And with a number of U.S. politicians talking up greater oversight of the country's massive technology oligarchies, It's not a stretch to imagine Amazon defending itself against anti-competitive claims and potential privacy before long. That said, it's hard to predict what Amazon is going to look like 25 years or even 5 years from now. But when we look back at the companies that have shaped the modern internet, Amazon is right at the top, for better or for worse. Indeed, Amazon is a pretty strong metaphor for the best and worst of the internet itself. British startup Charge Cars wants to plant its flag where muscle cars and electric cars meet. The company unveiled a Mustang that's old on the outside, but cutting edge under the sheet metal. It's headed to limited production, but the trade-off is that it carries a supercar-like price. On paper, the Charge Cars designed Mustang sounds like a model you'd find in the Tesla catalog. Instead of a 6 or 8 cylinder engine that sips fuel from a gas tank, it's equipped with a 64 kilowatt hour lithium ion battery pack that zaps motors provided by a company named Arrival. That all-wheel drive powertrain delivers a massive 885 foot-pounds of torque to the four wheels, which results in a 4-second sprint from 0 to 60 miles per hour. The original Mustang certainly wasn't slow in its most powerful configuration, but it wasn't as neck-snappingly quick as this build. The pack holds enough electricity to deliver about 200 miles of driving range, and it's compatible with 50 kilowatt DC fast charging stations. The recreated Mustang handles unlike any other 1960s example because the battery pack lowers its center of gravity, and it features all-wheel drive. Several aftermarket companies have made the Mustang 4 or all-wheel drive over the years, but Ford has always kept the model rear-wheel drive. The electric Mustang shares very few components with its 1960s counterpart. It's essentially a new car from the ground up, but it looks almost like the real thing because Charge Cars started the build with a reproduction body shell that's officially licensed by Ford. Its dimensions and proportions have been certified as accurate. While this is certainly not the cheapest way to restore a car, it brings buyers peace of mind because they don't have to find a donor vehicle or worry about how much rust was treated or cut away. The car shown is only one way to spec the Mustang. Buyers can work directly with Charge Cars to design the resto-modded pony car of their dreams. Production of the classic Mustang's electric clone is limited to just 499 models and is available on a first-come, first-served basis. Pricing starts at just 300,000 British pounds. It's a hefty sum which represents approximately 381,000 US dollars. That's a pretty tough pill to swallow, even for a cool resto-modded muscle car. If you'd choose the Mustang over a comparably priced Rolls-Royce, well, keep in mind Charge Cars asks buyers for a refundable $6,300 deposit. Deliveries will begin sometime in September. Artificial gravity has long been the stuff of sci-fi. Picture the wheel-shaped ships from films like 2001: A Space Odyssey and even The Martian, imaginary craft that generated their own gravity by spinning around in space. Now, a team from CU Boulder is working to make those out-there technologies finally a reality. The researchers can't mimic those Hollywood creations yet, but they are imagining new ways to design revolving systems that might fit within a room of future space stations and even moon bases. Astronauts could crawl into these rooms for just a few hours a day to get their daily doses of gravity. Think kind of spa treatments, but for the effects of weightlessness. The group hopes that its work will one day help keep astronauts healthy as they venture into space, allowing humans to travel farther from Earth than ever before and stay away even longer. But first, the team will need to solve a problem that has plagued proponents of artificial gravity for years. We're talking about motion sickness. Astronauts experience bone loss, muscle loss, cardiovascular deconditioning, and more in space. Today, there are a series of piecemeal-like countermeasures to overcome these issues, but really, artificial gravity is great because it can overcome all of them at once. The engineer lies down on a metal platform that looks like a hospital gurney, part of a machine that they call a short-radius centrifuge. After a quick countdown, the platform begins to rotate around the room, first slowly and then faster and faster. An undergraduate student studying aerospace engineering and research assistant in the lab watches the progress from a computer monitor in the next room. "You're coming on 15 rotations per minute now," he announces over a microphone. The engineer, however, doesn't seem to mind. In fact, he says it's fun. It's also the closest that scientists on Earth can get to how artificial gravity in space might actually work. The angular velocity generated by the centrifuge pushes their feet towards the base of the platform, almost as if you were standing under your own weight. But there's a problem with this kind of gravity. One that's familiar to anyone who has visited an amusement park. If the engineer turned his head to either side while spinning, he would experience a sensation known as cross-coupled illusion. It's a disruption of the inner ear that makes you feel like you're tumbling. It's a very strange sensation, so strange that for decades, engineers considered that kind of motion sickness a deal-breaker for artificial gravity. Researchers, however, had other ideas. In a series of recent studies, the team set out to investigate whether queasiness is really the price of admission for artificial gravity. In other words, could astronauts train their bodies to tolerate the strain that comes from being spun around in circles like hamsters in a wheel? The team began recruiting a group of volunteers and tested them on the centrifuge across 10 sessions. But unlike earlier studies, the CU Boulder researchers took things incredibly slow. They first spun their subjects at just one rotation per minute and only increased the speed once each recruit was no longer experiencing the cross-coupled illusion. The personalized approach worked. By the end of the 10th session, the study subjects were all spinning comfortably without feeling any illusion at an average speed of about 17 rotations per minute. That's much faster than any previous research had been able to achieve. The group reported its results in June. The researchers say that the study makes a strong case that artificial gravity could be a realistic option for the future of space travel. The researchers also bumped up the number of training sessions to 50, finding that people could even spin faster with more time on the machine. But they also have a lot more questions to answer before you might see any type of artificial gravity room perched on top of the ISS. How long do the effects of training last? And how much gravity would an astronaut need to offset the loss of muscle and bone? Well, the hope is that the research will begin to convince scientists that artificial gravity isn't just for summer blockbusters. I'm excited about this one. The space advocacy organization, the Planetary Society, recently confirmed that its LightSail 2 spacecraft has sent its first signals from space. The roughly 11-pound CubeSat is designed to prove that solar sailing is a feasible way of keeping satellites moving. Fuel is a costly and heavy commodity, and if LightSail 2 can prove that the solar-powered technique works well, well, perhaps future missions into the deep reaches of the solar system and beyond can be propelled by photons. The project launched in space June 25th from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida aboard a SpaceX Falcon Heavy mega rocket. On Tuesday, July 2nd, the bread loaf-sized LightSail 2 experiment left Prox 1, its carrier vehicle. LightSail 2 will ultimately open its ultra-thin four-panel sail to achieve a surface area about the size of a boxing ring. But before that can happen, the Planetary Society team needed confirmation that the spacecraft itself was healthy. That message came not too long ago as the spacecraft was passing over the satellite's mission control at California Polytechnic State University. The signals came from LightSail 2's recently deployed radio antenna, which began transmitting status data and a call sign in the form of Morse code, according to LightSail 2 officials. Once the CubeSat deploys its solar sail, the rays from the sun will give LightSail 2 a gentle push, at least hopefully. The goal is to observe LightSail 2 over the course of a month to see if it shifts in its orbit by a measurable amount. That will help demonstrate that solar sailing is an effective satellite propulsion technique. LightSail 2 isn't the first craft to do such work. For example, Japan's Icarus probe demonstrated solar sailing in interplanetary space back in 2010. BMW has spent the last few years steadily working towards an electric motorcycle, and this week, it showed off a revamped vision of what that bike might ultimately look like. As part of a suite of announcements tied to the company's new push to accelerate its electrification plans, BMW revealed the Motorrad Vision DC Roadster, an electric motorcycle concept that looks as close to road-ready as almost anything that the company has shown off before. In true concept form, the company hasn't released any specs, and it hasn't said if or when it will turn into a real motorcycle that people can actually buy. But it's one of the most grounded takes on an electric motorcycle from BMW yet. The German automaker's road to an electric motorcycle really started with the release of the fairly practical C-Evolution electric motor scooter back in 2014. Over the course of the next few years, the C-Evolution, which is basically the size of a motorcycle, was eventually upgraded enough that it offered 100 miles of range per charge and a top speed of 80 miles per hour. With a retail price of nearly $14,000, though, the C-Evolution became little more than a sort of limited test run for the electric future of BMW's Motorrad division. But it's been obvious that BMW wants to do bigger and better things with an electric motorcycle. In 2016, BMW went all out with the Vision Motorrad Next 100 concept bike, which looked like it came straight from the set of a superhero movie. And in 2017, BMW showed off the Motorrad Concept Link, which was like a more futuristic version of the C-Evolution. That brings us back to the new Motorrad Vision DC Roadster. It's a highly stylized bike for sure, but it also looks like something you could buy from a dealer right now, with a lot of money anyway. If you squint, you can see that BMW has taken some ideas from its more outlandish electric motorcycle concepts and squeezed them into this new vision of the future. And they've been assigned a bit more purpose. For instance, the excessive grills or ribs found on the Motorrad Next 100 are back in more moderate amounts. BMW says these will help cool the battery pack. The motorcycle is also, of course, bathed in BMW's signature colors. In total, it feels like BMW is saying with the Motorrad Vision DC Roadster, hey, we know we spent the last few years going pretty far out with our motorcycle concepts, so here's a taste of what we really want to make. It's a concept bike that calls on past BMW designs, and it doesn't stretch the idea of a BMW motorcycle so far that diehards won't buy in. It's not clear when the company will put a real electric motorcycle on the road, but considering BMW just announced that it's moving its electrification plans up by 2 years, there's still a chance that it will be sooner rather than later. Check this out. The Drone 40, introduced by Melbourne-based defense technology firm Defentex, is a drone whose niche involves a 40mm grenade launcher. It's a range expander of sorts for infantry, a new and novel loitering munition, and a testament to the second-order effects of a thriving drone parts ecosystem. Drone 40 was created as a solution to the problem of range, specifically the problem of a range disparity between the infantry weapons carried by Australian infantry, which are accurate to about 500 meters, and the AK-74s carried by adversaries, which can reach out to 800 meters, though the accuracy at that range is disputed. Even if the fire is just suppressing fire, Australia was looking for a way to let its infantry fight back, but not one that required changing the gun or adding a lot more weight to what soldiers were already carrying. Rather than overtaxing the launcher with a medium velocity round that could travel the distance needed, the launcher would instead give a boost to a drone-borne munition that would then fly under its own power the rest of the way to the target. Drone 40 is a loitering munition for a very short definition of loiter. When carrying a 110-gram payload, it can fly for about 12 minutes. The person commanding the Drone 40 can remotely disarm the munition, letting it land inert for later recovery. When not carrying an anti-personnel or anti-tank munition as payload, it can be outfitted with a sensor. For an infantry unit that wants to scout first, fire later, well, the sensor module can provide early information, then be swapped out with a deadly payload if necessary. The drone's video streaming can transmit 10 kilometers over direct line of sight. Drone 40 can also record video and retransmit it when it comes within range of a signal, or it can take still images as well. With the radio frequency relayed by another aerial system, that range can be expanded. Using GPS, the drone can follow a waypoint, plotted course to a target, or it can use its own synthetic aperture radar to identify and track a target. Drone 40 is designed to fly with minimal human intervention, and the drone can work with multiple Drone 40s flying together and operating off the sensor data from a single ISR drone in the swarm. Most of the flying, identifying, and tracking of its targets is done autonomously. However, human control remains an essential part of the machine's operation. Drone 40 is also designed to be scaled up. Defense Techs is working on a Drone 81, a larger round designed to work with mortar tubes. And there are other drone models in the works as well, matched to specific munition sizes. If successful, it will create a whole new arsenal of possibilities for range-expanded munitions that fit into existing platforms. And finally, happening in this week's What the? In another case of, yep, it happened in Florida, a video has been posted to Facebook of a Wendy's employee taking a bath in the kitchen sink. The video depicts a shoeless man who appears to be a Wendy's employee take off his shirt and get in the restaurant's sink. The man gets inside, sits down as though he's having a bath. A girl in the background is encouraging the man to take a bath, get in there, and wash his armpits, to which he does. The girl then hands him what appears to be paper towels, and the voice behind the camera then says to him, "Let's see them toes." At the end of the video, the camera briefly flips to front camera mode where you can see a girl in a Wendy's uniform smiling. According to the person who posted the video to Facebook, this occurred at the Wendy's in Milton, Florida. Thanks for watching your weekly tech update. If you have a story you think we should feature on the program, send me an email, djraymcneil@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at Your Weekly Tech Update and check out the podcast, audio and video versions available on Google, iTunes, Spotify, Audio Burst, and elsewhere on the interwebs. Till next time, I'm Ray McNeil. Good night, world. Your weekly tech update brought to you by Holiday Home Care, Phillip Island, Victoria, Australia. It's your turn to relax.